Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Ili Nishmas, Avi Moya, Rav David Tzvi ben Rav Yosef. Today's daf is Yuma daf Ayin Gimel. And today we are finally going to begin part of Maseches Yuma that's actually Nogea Halacha L'maisa today, about eating, drinking, and all the halachas of Yom Kippur that actually do apply today, not just Beis Hamikdash. In the 8th parak, we're going to, Ez Hashem, end the 7th parak and begin the 8th parak. Good morning, Reb Zalman. Let's begin from the bottom of Ayin Beis and Mebeis at the two dots. Be'elu nish'olin be'urim v'tumim. So the Mishnah had said that only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing his 8 garments, that's when we ask the Urim V'tumim. That's when you can ask questions of the Urim V'tumim, only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing all of his 8 garments. Says the Gemara. The Gemara begins with a discussion of, we know there's a Kohen Gadol, and there's a Kohen Hedjon, and then there's a Kohen who's sort of somewhere in between a regular Kohen and a Kohen Gadol. That's called the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. What's the Mashuach Milchama? This is a special Kohen who is designated to give the troops a psych-up speech before going to war. And he was also anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. So he had a little bit more Kedusha than a regular Kohen, but he wasn't quite the Kohen Gadol. So the question is, when a Mashuach Milchama would do work in the Beis HaMikdash, if he would do service in the Beis HaMikdash, how many garments would he wear? Says the Gemara. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Begadim Shekohen Gadol Mishamish Ben, the 8 garments that a Kohen Gadol would wear in the Beis HaMikdash when he would do Avoda, Mashuach Melchama Mishamish Bahem. So Rav Dimi says that the same 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol, if the Mashuach Melchama would come to work in the Beis HaMikdash, he would not wear the 4 regular garments of a Kohen Hedjot, he would wear the 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol. Shenehemar, as it says in the parasha that discusses the dedication of the Mishkan, Uvigdei HaKodesh Sher La'aron Yu Levanav Achrav. The Bigdei Kodesh, the special 8 begadim that Aaron had, would be to his sons afterwards. So what do you mean, Labanav Achrov? The word Achrov is extra. Could have just said Labanav. So the Gemara Darshins, Lemi Shabab Bigdula Achrov, the one who is next in line in greatness. Meaning, and it's a reference to the Mashuach Milchama, the one who gave the psych-up speech before they would go out to war. Masir Ravada Barava. Ravada Barava asked against Rav Dimi. Amri la Kedi. And some say it was a rabbi whose name was Kedi. Others say no. Amri la Kedi means we don't know who said it. Nobody. Kedi means nobody. We don't know. Somebody else said it, but we don't know who it is. Yachol Yehi B'no Shalmashav Mechama Mishamish Tachtav. You might think that the son of the Mashuach Mechama gets to take his position after he dies. There is this idea, which we're going to discuss shortly in Yiddishkeit, that in certain positions of prominence, if the son is worthy to take over for the father, the son gets first rights, first dibs to take over the father. So you might think that the one who gives the psych-up speech before going out to war, Yehi B'no Shomashoch Muhammad Mishamish Tachtav, he gets his father's position after he dies. Similar to the fact that if the son of the Kohen Gadol was ready to be Kohen Gadol, he would get first dibs at his father's job. It's learned out in the Medrash from this that it says by Avodas Yom Kippurim, L'chayin tachas aviv. This teaches us that the son comes before the father. But that's only where the son is also wise like the father and has Yirah Shemayim like the father. So says the Rambam and Rashi. It's Rashi over here, D'Ramaschel Yochel. Take a look at the Rashi. This Amud is strange because there's Rashi on both sides. But let's take a look at Yochel. So you yachol, you see it's about two-thirds of the way down the page. Yachol yehi b'no shel mashom l'cham b'shamash tachtav. Yachol te gedulas mashom l'cham yerusha lios b'no kol m'cholem k'derek sh'b'no shekan gadam b'shamash tachtav. V'akoin ha-mashiach ein lo elo mashiach meru b'gadam b'nayin tamalom v'akoin. Yachol shemar b'af mashom l'cham tamalom tachtav mi'banav. Mi sh'b'no o mi'tachtav. Yachol mashom l'cham ein b'no o mi'tachtav. U'minayin le mashuach m'cham sh'ein b'no o mi'tachtav tamalom. It's got to be someone who is roi to follow in his footsteps. So how do you, so back in the Gemara, Tavon Lomar Shivas Yomim Yilbasham Akoin Tachtav Mibanav Asher Yavo Elo Moi. Only the Kohen Gadol, Mishiroi Lava Ol Moed, only someone who's roi to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim. His son follows him. However, Mashuach Mulchama, who is not a Kohen Gadol, so he's not roi to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Therefore, Ein Bino Mishamish Tachtov, his son does not follow in his way. Now, the Gemara asks, V'im Isa, if it's Rav Dimi's right, then a Mashuach Muhammad can wear the Shmona Begadin, why does the Brisa say that he's not able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? If he wears the Shmona Begadin like a Kohen Gadol, Michsa Chazi, he's allowed to do the Avoda. He's mamish considered to be like an associate Kohen Gadol. If he wears the Shmona Begadin while he does the Avoda, so he should be able to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He should be able because, as the Pasuk says, V'chipir HaKohen Asher Yimshach Ozov Asher Yimalei Es Yadav. And Milu Yadai means by wearing the Begadim. So one of the ways you become consecrated as a Kohen Gadol is by wearing the 8 Begadim. So if the Mashuach Mulcham is allowed to wear the 8 Begadim, so how come the Brisa says he's not allowed to do the Avodah on Yom HaKippurim? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hachi Ka'amar. This is what the Brisa means. Kol She'ikar Mishichaso La'ol Moed. The one whose kids get to serve after him is only someone whose main avoda is serving in the Beis Hamikdash. Yatzazeh She'ikar Mishichaso La'Mulchama. But the Mashuach Mulchama, you're right. Technically, he can serve in the Ol Moed. He can do the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, but that's not his main job. It's got to be someone whose main job is to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and to do the service in Yom Kippur. To exclude the Mashuach Mulchama, his main job is not that way, and therefore his son does not follow him. Now, what jobs in Judaism does the son have the first right to follow him? So, one important one is being king, Malchus. So, Malchus, being king in Judaism, they do follow Beirusha from father to son, and also other positions of authority. Like the Darshan and Sifri, in Parsha Shoftim, from the Pasuk by the Parsha of the Melech, Laman Yarech, it says by the Melech, in Parsha Shoftim, Laman Yarech Yomal Mamlachto, Hu Uvanov Bekerav Yisrael. So the Torah seems to say, Hu Uvanov. So, if you have a king, so his son gets first rights to the kingdom. So the Radvaz, in his commentary on the Rambam, in Klei HaMikdash, writes that, what's the difference between kingdom and other positions of authority that do go to the son, and yet Mashuach Mulchama does not go to the son? Why is that so? He says, because by other positions of authority, even if the son is not exactly like the father, it's not such a big deal. However, by the Mashuach Mulchama, that he was appointed to strengthen the people when they went out to war, they did not want this to go to the son, because you got to make sure it's somebody who really knows what he's doing. However, the Chasam Sofer disagrees with this. The Chasam Sofer in the Tshuvas and Aruch Chaim asks, since we already learned from the Pasuk that kingdom and all of the other authorities go Birushit to father to son, so why do I need a special Pasuk that the son of the Kohen Gadol gets appointed after him? And similarly, why don't we say Mashiach Melchama? The son does not follow. So based on this question, the Chasam Sofer suggests that this that we learn out from the parish of the Melech, that's only with appointments that are similar to the Melech, like the police force and things that are similar to being a king, that are not appointments of Kedusha. However, appointments of Kedusha do not follow to the son, and that's why Mashiach Melchama doesn't go to the son. And therefore, we need a special pasuk that the Kohen Gadol, we do appoint the son in place of the father. It comes to exclude the Mashiach Melchama. So it's an interesting idea that we have some offices in Yiddishkeit that do go father to son, and the king is considered to be one of them. Very interesting. Okay, let's continue. So, Meisve, we ask another question to Rav Dimi. You, Rav Dimi, taught us that that the Mashiach Melchama is allowed to do service with the eight garments. Is that really so? Meisve, Mashiach Melchama eino mishamish lo barba kikon hedjev velo mishmoni b'kon kikon dodo. Unbelievable. We have a brayson that says, a Mashiach Melchama, not only is he not allowed to do avoda with the eight garments, he can't even do avoda with the four garments. He's not allowed to do avoda at all. Mashiach Eino Meshamish Lo Bar Bar B'Gol Kekohen Hedjot. He doesn't wear four. V'lo B'Shmona Kekohen Gadol. So, sounds like it's a Dindo Raisa against Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi just said that he does avoda with the eight garments. Amalei Abaya. Abaya asks on this question, come on. Elak Zarmash Vislay. What do you mean? You're telling me the Mashiach Melchama is like not a Kohen at all? He can't do any avodah? You make him like a Zar? Ella, no, you got the Peshat in this Brisa wrong. Certainly, Midoraisa Rav Dimi is correct that the Mashiach Melchama is allowed to do avodah with the eight garments. However, Midorabbanon, the rabbis came along and disqualified him. Ella, Kekohen Gadol, but Mishum Eva. Really, he's allowed to do service midoraisa with the eight garments like a Kohen Gadol. But the rabbis came along and said, we don't want somebody else doing avoda with the eight garments at the same time that the Kohen Gadol's walking around with the eight garments, because the Kohen Gadol's going to get jealous that there's another guy out there who's almost like him. Mishum Eva. So that the Kohen Gadol should not be upset with him that, oh, this guy who's not really in his madrega is wearing the eight garments. And Kikohen Hedjo Mishum Malam Akodesh Lomo Ridin. And he's not allowed to wear do avoda with the four garments because he's actually on a higher level than a regular Kohen. So we don't want to lower him to a lower level of Kedusha than that which he is. So he's above a Kohen Hedjo. So we're not allowed to lower him by making him work with the four garments. And therefore, even though Midoraisa is allowed to serve with the eight garments like Rav Dimi, Midrabbanan, the rabbis came along and said, you shouldn't do it. Now, the problem with this is, Achronim ask, so if Midoraisa is allowed to serve with eight garments, but the rabbis came along and said he's not allowed to, so when can he ever serve with the eight garments? What's the practical, does that practical halacha ever come into play? So the Siach Yitzchak answers, if the Kohen Gadol dies, and they haven't yet appointed another Kohen Gadol, so under those circumstances, that's when the Mashiach Melchama is allowed to go into Beis HaMikdash and serve with the eight garments, because there's no Eva, there's no Kohen Gadol. So that's when the Din D'oraisa would apply that he could serve with the eight garments, that the Kohen Gadol dies and they didn't appoint somebody else. And the Me'iri also explains that even while the Kohen Gadol is alive, the Meiri claims if the Kohen Gadol gives the Mashiach Melchama Rishus to serve with the eight garments, so then he's Meichel on the Eva, then he would be allowed to serve. Let's continue. So, So Abaye just said that a Kohen Mashuach Melchama is not allowed to serve neither with the 8 garments because of Ava, nor with the 4 garments. Amalei Rav Ada bar Abba l'Rava v'hai Tana d'lesle Ava v'lo kamishamesh. But I'll ask you a question again, Rav Dimi. I'll show you a brisa that says that we are not worried about Ava, and yet still the Kohen Mashuach Melchama is not allowed to serve with the 8 garments against Rav Dimi. Ask the Gemara Desanya, because he learned an interesting brisa. Dvarim Shebein Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedyon. What are the differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyon? Says a long brisa, and the end of it's going to be Akasha against Rav Dimi. So the Gra erases the words Par Kohen Mashiach, because it's the same as Par Habal Kol Mitzvahs. Right? If a Kohen Gadol paskins on something that's Usser, an Isser Kares, he permits it by accident, so he brings a special Par of the Kohen Gadol, Habal Kol Mitzvahs. Upar Yom HaKippurim, and the bull that he brings from his own money in Yom Kippur. Vasiris Ha'efa, and the special Karban Mincha that he would bring every single day, half in the morning and half in the afternoon, the tenth of an Efa, the Minchas Chavitin. Lo Porea, the Kohen Gadol, does not allow his hair to grow long. Usually when you're in Avelos, you're not allowed to take a haircut, but the Kohen Gadol has to take a haircut. He's always got to look nice. He's always in the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't let his hair go long. That's Rashi and the Ramban say it's only during Avelos. Lo velo porim. He doesn't rip his garments on top during Avelos. So that's Rashi and the Ramban. But the Rambam says he's not allowed to let his hair go long ever. Not just Avelos. It's any time. He's not allowed. He has to take a haircut every day. Kohen Gadol has to take a haircut every day, the Rambam says. He's not allowed to let his hair grow long ever. He's always in Beis HaMikdash. So lo porim avol porim humu lamata. He's allowed to rip his clothing on the bottom, but not on top. The hejot, the hahejot milmala. He rips his garments on top like a regular person. Ve'ein mitami lekrovav. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to attend the funeral of his 7 close relatives. He's not allowed to be mitami. A regular kohen is allowed to go to a relative's a funeral of his seven close relatives. Umitsuva ala besula, umuzar ala almana. Kohen Gadol has to marry a besula, and he is an iser d'oraisa to marry an almana, as opposed to a kohen hedyot who's allowed to marry an almana, just not a grusha. Umachzir esarot seach, and the death of the Kohen Gadol causes someone who kills b'shogig to come back from the ir miklat. Umakriv onain, and a Kohen Gadol is allowed to bring karbanos even if he's an onain, but ve'eno ochel ve'eno cholik. But he's not allowed to eat karbanos when he's an onain. That's like a regular kohen, and he doesn't get a portion of the karbanos. V'notel chelik barosh, the Kohen Gadol gets the first portion of the karbanos, whatever he wants. He can take whatever portion he wants. U'makriv chelik barosh, he's allowed to do any avodah that he wants. He's allowed to be makriv karbanos anytime he wants. U'mishamish b'shmona kelim, and he serves with 8 garments. U'patzer al tumas mikdash v'kadashav. If he goes into Beis HaMikdash when he's tamei, or he eats karbanos when he's tamei, he doesn't have to bring the karban. V'chol avodos yom ha-kippur meinik sheres elabo. He is the only one allowed to do all the avodos in the Kohen Gadol, in the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Kippur. V'chulon, all these halachas you just said about a Kohen Gadol, nagos b'meruba begadim, these apply by any Kohen Gadol who wears all the 8 garments. Let's say he was not anointed with the Shemen HaMishkan, because after the days of Yoshiyahu, so it was Nignaz Shemen HaMishcha. So he was just become sanctified by wearing the 8 garments. Chutz. V'chula noagos b'mru b'gadim. Let's say the Kohen Gadol was not anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. He just wears the 8 garments. All these halacha apply except for chutz par baal kol mitzvahs. Except for the par Kohen Mashiach, which was the par baal kol mitzvahs, which that's only... because it says, "Imakoyin Amashiach yechtalash masam." He's got to be anointed with the oil. V'chula noagos b'mashuach sheavar. All of these halachas also apply by the Kohen Gadol, the substitute Kohen Gadol. Let's say the Kohen Gadol got a mum. They appointed another guy as the Kohen Gadol. And then they came back to the first one. So Mashuach She'avar, so he was the backup Kohen Gadol, who's now no longer the Kohen Gadol. All these same halachas apply. Chutz mipar Yom HaKippur v'asiris ha'efa. Except for the bull on Yom Kippur and the tenth of an Eifa, that's only by a currently serving Kohen Gadol and not the guy who was the Kohen Gadol in the past. Mashuach She'avar does not bring them. Because they're a set time, only one, you can only have one of them. V'chulon e'ino agos Mashuach Melchama, and all of these halachas, like wearing eight garments, do not apply to the Mashuach Melchama. Beferish against Rav Dimi. Beferish Abaisa, he doesn't wear the eight garments. Chutz mi'chamisha dvar ma'urim parasha. Except five things do apply to the Mashuach Melchama that are said in the parasha of Mashuach Melchama. Because the pasuk says, "Va'kohen agadol me'achav asher yutzak arosh Hashem and amishcha." So from those words, asher yutzak arosho, even Mashuach Melchama is also anointed with the Hashem and amishcha. So included in the Mashuach Melchama is lo poreh. He's not allowed to let his hair grow long. Lo poreh doesn't rip his garments on top. Lo matam in the krov. He doesn't go to the levaya of his seven close relatives. Umitzuah ala besula umuzer al almana. He has to marry a besula. He's not allowed to marry an almana. Those five things apply to Mashuach Melchama. And even if he dies, a rotzeach b'shogig would leave the ear mikla. Kedivri Rabbi Yehuda, that's contrary. Rabbi Yehuda v'chacham or me'eno machzir. The Chacham say don't. At any rate, we see that the halach of wearing eight begadim does not apply to a Mashuach Melchama against what Rav Dimi said. Answers the Gemara, no. Really, a Mashuach Melchama does wear the eight garments when he does service. Midoraisa. The Brisa says he doesn't do it. That's Midrabanan. Gemara says, Ki lesle Eva bidikavasa bidizutter mine isle. The author of this Brisa holds that this Kohen Gadol, the author of this Brisa holds that really a Mashuach Melchama is allowed to serve with the eight garments midoraisa like Rav Dimi. The Brisa says he can't do it, that's only midrabanan, because of Eva. It's clear. What do you mean? From the fact that a Mashuach She'avar is allowed to serve with the eight, meaning a substitute Kohen Gadol, not a Mashuach Melchama. A guy who, let's say the Kohen Gadol got a mum, so they appointed a substitute Kohen Gadol, and then the first one came back, so that Mashuach She'avar is allowed to wear the eight garments. So the Gemara is saying, wait a second. If the Mashuach She'avar is allowed to wear the eight garments, why is there no Eva for him? And yet you're telling me that the Mashuach Melchama, there is Eva. Says the Gemara, Ki lesle Eva bidikavasa. A guy who really was the man, was the Kohen Gadol. So the Kohen Gadol's not upset that he gets to wear the eight garments, because he was a legit Kohen Gadol. While the first Kohen Gadol had a mum, the substitute Kohen Gadol, he was allowed to wear. So he's allowed to avoda with the eight garments. So there's no Eva. I could have said as far as the opposite. Maybe Dafka there would be Eva. But apparently the Gemara says, by a substitute Kohen Gadol there's no Eva. But a guy on a lower level, a guy who's a Mashuach Melchama, is going to walk around Beis HaMikdash doing avoda with the eight begadim, islay, there would be Eva. So that's why the Mashuach Melchama Midrabanan is not allowed to do Mishum Eva, even though Rav Dimi is still correct that Midoraisa he's allowed to do it, but Midrabanan Mishum Eva he can't. But there's no Eva by a Mashuach She'avar, by the substitute Kohen Gadol, there wouldn't be Eva, because he was at least on the Madrega of being a Kohen Gadol. Let's continue. Yosef Rabbi Avov Kamalal Hashmaita. This halacha that we said in the name of Rav Dimi, that a Mashuach Melchama is allowed to do avoda with the eight garments, someone said it Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Someone said this teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Dimi was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. When Rav Dimi came and said this teaching, he didn't say it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, right? When we said it before, we said, Ki asa Rav Dimi, right? He didn't say it. It was not said originally in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, correct? Kiyasa Rav Dimi, right, didn't say Rav Yochanan, right, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, says the Gemara. So Yosef Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Avo was another student of Rabbi Yochanan. Karmel Allah Shmaita, he said this halacha, Mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. Ahadrina Rabbi Yami Rabbi Yasi Lapayu. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yasi were sitting there, they turned their backs. They turned their backs to him. They turned their faces away from him. As if to say, how could you say Rabbi Yochanan said this? In Kedamri, some had the story a little differently. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amorah. Rabbi Chia Bar Abba said the name Rabbi Yochanan, Vahajidu Rabbi Ami Rabbi Rabasi Lapayu. And Rabbi Ami and Rabasi turned their faces away from him. Maskefla Rav Papa. Rav Papa asked this, Bishlama Rabbi Avohu, if you tell me the Rabbi Avohu said it. So the reason Rabbi Ami and Rabasi did not want to actively dispute his words is Mishum Yikara de Bei Kesar. Because Rabbi Avohu was Makurov to the house of the Kesar. So they had respect for Rabbi Avohu. They didn't want to disagree with him, so they just turned their backs. Ella Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, but if you tell me the opinion that said it was Rabbi Chia Bar Abba said it, Neimru Meimar, Lo Rabbi Yochanan, why didn't they just respond and say, what are you talking about? Rabbi Yochanan never said this. Why did they just turn their backs? They didn't respond. So must be that that's not the correct version, that it was really Rabbi Avohu who said it. And now the Gemara brings a different opinion. Ki also Ravin Omar, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he disagreed with Rav Dimi. Ki also Ravin Omar, no, it was never stated in the Beis HaMedrash that a Mashuach Melchama is allowed to do Avoda in the Beis HaMedrash with the eight Begadim like the Kohen Gadol. Nish'al Itmar. No, it doesn't mean the Mashuach Melchama would wear the eight garments while he's doing the Avoda. It means that when the Mashuach Melchama would consult with the Urim V'Tumim to find out whether the Jewish people should go to war or whether or not the Jewish people should do X or should do Y or should do Z, then he wore the eight garments. That's when he would wear it. If the king would ask the Urim V'Tumim, the Mashuach Melchama could wear the eight garments like a Kohen Gadol wears B'Shas Avoda, the Mashuach Melchama could wear it if the king wanted to ask a question of the Urim V'Tumim. But when he served in the Beis HaMikdash, he would only use the Arba Begadim like a regular Kohen Hedyot. That's the opinion of Ravin. And therefore, you have no kashas from the Brises beforehand. Tanya Nami Hachi, we also learned in the Brises supporting Ravin, Begadim Shekohen Gadol Mishamish Bahen, the eight Begadim that a Kohen Gadol would do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash with, Mashuach Melchama Nishal Bahem. The Mashuach Melchama could be asked a question of the Urim V'Tumim when he was wearing them. Tana Rabbanan, while we're on the subject of the Urim V'Tumim, how would this Urim V'Tumim work? Ketzad Sholan, how would we ask? Hashoel Panav Klapi Nishal, V'Hanishal Panav Klapi Shechina. The one asking the question, the Melech or the Av Bezdin, or anyone that Shat Sibut Srichen Lo, he would face the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, who was being asked the question, V'Hanishal Panav Klapi Shechina. And the Nishal would face the Shechina. What does that mean? A Machlokas, Rashi and the Ramban against the Rambam. What does it mean, V'Hanishal Panav Klapi Shechina? So Rashi says it means the Nishal would be facing the Urim V'Tumim. What do you mean he'd be facing the Urim V'Tumim? So that's what Rashi says. Asks the Kesef Mishnah, why did Bryce have to say this? Obviously, he's wearing the Urim V'Tumim, so obviously he's facing them. What does it mean he's facing the Urim V'Tumim? And why does it say that it's Hashoel upon of Klape Anishal? What do you mean? It's Klape the Shechina. The Shoel is also facing the Shechina, which is the Urim V'Tumim. And therefore, the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. The Rambam explains that the Shechina is the Aron. The Kohen was standing and facing the Aron, and the guy asking the question was standing behind him, facing his back. And the Kesef Mishnah explains that Hashoel upon of Klape Anishal means that he was facing in the same direction towards the Aron. Wow. However, in the Sefer Eayayam, he asks against this. What do you mean? The examples the Gemara brings of questions we'll see in a minute. There was no Aron. It was already in the second Beis HaMikdash. Or the Aron wasn't there. It was in the house of Avinadav, Asher Begiva. It wasn't there yet. And therefore he explained that even the Rambam admits that the Gemara agrees that the face of the Kohen Gadol is towards the Urim V'Tumim, like Rashi says. But that's only if there is no Aron there. If the Aron would be there, then he faces the Aron. Because it says, V'sha'alo lifnei Hashem. I, the Kesef Mishnah's Kasha, that Shechina doesn't mean the Urim V'Tumim. So why did Bryce have to tell me this? Wasn't he wearing it also? So the other Achron of the Ayam explains, the Chiddush is that he shouldn't face his head left or right, rather should be straight ahead. So it'll be facing the Urim V'Tumim. That's why the Gemara had to say it. So you have Machlokas. How would they face exactly? Would they face the Aron or would they just face each other? So, Hashoel Panav Klapi Anishal, Vanishal Panav Klapi Shechina. Hashoel Omer, the Shoel would ask his question. For instance, like by David HaMelech asked the Urim V'Tumim when Amalek was surrounding the city of Tziklag, and they took captives the women and children. Erdof Achrei Agdud Hazeh, should I run after them? Vanishal Omer, Komar Hashem, Aleva Atzlach. Yeah, go do it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Tzach Lomar Komar Hashem, Aleva Atzlach. Yes, go to battle. Ein Shalim Bekol. You don't ask the Urim V'Tumim questions with a loud voice. Shnemar V'sha'alo. You ask just for you. Lo Mahara Belibo. Lo Mahara Belibo. You don't also just do it in your mind. Shnemar V'sha'alo Lifnei Hashem. You have to say it at least a little bit. Ella Kiderech She'amar Chana B'Tfilasa. Like Chana spoke in her Shmona, in her davening, right? We learn all the laws of Shmona Esrei. That's what you're supposed to whisper in a very inaudible voice. Shmona Esrei, we learn that out from Chana. So too, when asking the Urim V'Tumim, you should whisper it softly. Ein Shoal in Shnei Dvarim Kechad. You're not supposed to ask two questions at the same time. Vim Shoal in Machzion Ela Echad. And if you did ask two questions at the same time, they're only going to give you an answer for one of them. Vim Machzion Lo Ela Rishon. They only respond to you on the first question you ask. Shneamar, when David was in the city of Keilah, and he heard that Shaul was going to come to there to fight a war, and to try to ask the people of the city to trap David. So David asked the Urim V'Tumim, Hayaz Giruni Bale Kila Biyado, are the inhabitants of this city going to give me over to Shaul? Hayerid Shaul V'Gomer, and will Shaul come down to the city? Vayomar Hashem Yerid. Hashem responded to the second question only. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean by Armas Emixion El Rishon? Didn't you just tell me that the Urim V'Tumim only answered the first question? Answered the Gemara, David Shaal Shalo Kaseder. David asked the questions out of order. He should have first asked, is Shaul coming to Keilah and are the people going to give me over to him? V'hechziru lo Kaseder. And they answered him the order that he should have asked them. V'kevan sheyada sheshal shelo kaseder chazal v'shal kaseder. Once David realized he asked out of order, then he asked the first question again. Shnemar hayazgiru bale kilo sivasan shebeshov ayom Hashem yazgiru. Yes, they are going to give you over to him. V'mhutzach adav l'shnayim. But if you need to ask two questions, machzirin l'shnayim. If it's an urgent situation, you got to ask two questions. They'll give you both answers. Shnemar. Even though sometimes a gzera that a Navi testifies about, like Yonah, who testified that Nineveh was going to be destroyed, such a decree can be reversed based on tshuva. Gzeras Urim V'Tumim ain't a chozeres. Anything the Urim V'Tumim says is going to happen cannot be changed. Shnemar b'mishpat ha'urim. Lamanakrashman Urim V'Tumim. Why are they called Urim V'Tumim? Urim Shemi'irinus Divrayim. They light up its words. Tumim Shemashlimanus Divrayim. Their words always stick. Vim Tomar. Begivas Binyamin. The civil war caused by the Pilegish Begiva with Shevet Binyamin against the other tribes, which was established based on the Urim V'Tumim. The first 2 days, the Urim V'Tumim, it didn't stick. Why did the Urim V'Tumim not stick to its words? Says the Gemara, no. Hey, Mshalo Bichanu. No, they never asked the Urim and Tumim whether they were going to win the war, just whether they should fight the war. And the answer was, they were supposed to fight the war because people had to die. Im l'natzeach, im l'natzeach. Right? They had to fight the war whether they were going to win or not win. U'b'achrona, but on the third day, finally, when they asked, Shebichanu v'eskimu, when they asked the Urim and Tumim, are we going to win the war? And the Urim and Tumim finally said on the third night, yes. They would win the war. Shneimaru Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Omin lefanav biyamahim leimar haosif od latzis lemuchama im bnei binyamin achi im echdal vayom Hashem alu ki machar etnenu biyadecha. Yes, on the third night he finally asked Pinchas ben Elazar asked, should we go to war? And are we going to win? The first two nights he just asked, should we go to war? He said, yes, you should go to war. Aye, people died. Yeah, they were supposed to die. On the second night's evening, on the third night they said, are we going to win? And he said, yes, you will win the war. And they did win the war on the third night. Right, so only certain people, no, not anyone was allowed to ask. Only the melech and someone who had a specific need. If Klal Yisrael had a specific need. Not, you couldn't ask for your individual wants, only for Klal Yisrael. Ketzad nases, how would the Urim v'Tumim respond to questions? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Boltos. Rabbi Yochanan said the letters, right, you had the letters of the 12 tribes, they were, the letters would shine and stick out from their place. Reish Lakish Omer Mitztarfos. Not only would the letters stick out, but they would actually come together to form words. Asks the Gemara, V'halok sivbuhu tzadi. What about if you needed a tzadi? There was no tzadi in all the letters of the 12 tribes. There was no tzadi. Not only that, the Yerushalmi also asked, there was no ches, and there was no kuf. There was no tzadi, no ches, and no kuf. Asks the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov Kasev Sham. In addition to the 12 tribes, it also said Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So there's a tzadi in Yitzchak and a ches and a kuf. Ask the Gemara, but there was no tes. V'halok siv tes. There was no tes even in the 12 tribes and the three avos. Amar v'achbar Yaakov, shifte yeshurin ksiv sham. Underneath the name of Binyamin, on the third stone, in the fourth row, the yashfe stone, which was Binyamin, it also said the words shifte yeshurin. So the tes would light up from the shifte yeshurin. If the Kohen Gadol doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh, so then it's not going to answer. So what do you mean? What do you mean? What do you need the lights to let up? The guy has Ruach HaKodesh. Ev Yasar, they stopped asking him. They wouldn't ask him because he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. Vayal, they fired him from being Kohen Gadol because they would ask him and he wouldn't respond because he didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. Answers the Gemara. So it sounds like the answers didn't come from the letters, it came from the Ruach HaKodesh. Answers the Gemara. See you have a Messiah Ba'adayu. The letters would light up, but the Ruach HaKodesh would help him out. Like, according to the opinion that said the letters would light up, right? There's the famous story with Eli, the Vilna Gaon writes, that Eli HaKohen saw Chana davening there, and he thought she was a Shikora, because he saw something strange was happening, so he asked Urim V'Tumim, and the letters, Shin Chof Reish He. So she thought it was Shikora, but really she was Kishera, or Kisara. Kisara, she was like Sara Imenu. So Eli thought she was a Shik, Tom Pasa says, he thought she was drunk. But really she was Kisara. Ve'ein Shalom El Lamelech. Right? Reb Zalman, you see, you're only allowed to ask a Melech or Av Bezdin or someone who the Tzibur needs. Menon Emilia, I'm a Reveo Damakra. V'lefnei El Zarkin Yama V'shalom V'mishon Urim L'fnei Hashem. Hu Ze Melech. V'chol B'nei Yisrael Ito Ze Mashoch Mulchama. V'chol La'eda Zu Sanhedrin. Those are the only people who are allowed to ask. The Mashoch Mulchama was someone who was needed for the Tzibur. And now let's just briefly begin. This whole eighth parak is finally the practical laws that apply to Yom Kippur nowadays, says the Mishnah. There's a mitzvah to be ma'ana to have inuyim on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur masa ba'achilu v'shtiyo v'rechitza uv'sicha uv'ni'ilas ha'sandal uv'tash v'shamita. Five inuyim, eating and drinking, that's one. Taking a shower, putting on deodorant or anointing yourself, wearing leather shoes, and marital relations, all are forbidden to Yom Kippur. Ha-melech va-kala yichatzu es p'neim. A king and a kala within 30 days of her wedding are allowed to wash their faces because they need to look beautiful. The kala needs to make sure the husband loves her, and the melech needs to look beautiful for the people. Va-chaya, a woman who gave birth up until 30 days, tinal is a sandal, she's allowed to wear leather shoes because it's dangerous. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, v'chachamim osrim. The Chachamim say all these things are usr. Ha'ochel kakoseves agasa. If a person eats the amount of a large date, kamo charinasa, within in its pit, v'ashosim lo lugmov, if you eat a cheekful, if you drink a cheekful, chayav kares. Kol ochlim tzarfen l'kakoseves, all foods combined for the large date, the shear of the large date, v'chol amashkim tzarfen l'mlon luglov, all liquids combined from l'mlon luglov, ha'ochel v'shoseh, Ein starfin, eating and drinking do not combine. Says the Gemara, Asur, Anish Karisu. What do you tell me? It's Asur. It should say Chayav Karis for eating and drinking. Am Rabbi Ilav Itema, Rabbi Yirmiya, Lanitzcha Ela Le Chatzi Shir. Asur is teaching me the din that even if you eat less than a shir of koseves, it's still Asur. Says the Mahanich, Lamanam Chatzi Asur in the Torah. This works well according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, if you eat less than a shear of anything, it's asur min haTorah. El lamando mechatz shear mutar min haTorah. But if you hold half a shear, is mutar midoraisa. Michael Amemar. So why does the Mishnah say asur din mar chatz shear? Rabbi Yochanan Amar asur min haTorah. Reish Lakish Amar mutar min haTorah. Honey, chile Rabbi Yochanan. El Reish Lakish Michael Amemar. Answer the Gemara. Modar Reish Lakish asur midrabanan. Reish Lakish still agrees that even if chatz shear is mutar midoraisa, let's say, is it mutar to eat half a kazayis of tray food? So Rabbi Yochanan says asur midoraisa. Rabbi Yochanan says mutar midoraisa, but it's asur midrabanan. You don't get a punishment, but Rabbi Yochanan still says it's asur midoraisa. Okay, we will come back to this Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll pick this up tomorrow. You too. Have a great day.